Heavenly Father, truly, Lord, we know one of these days, when the final trump, the last trump sound, we know, Lord, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive will be caught up together to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the air. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. For 2,000 years, Lord, the saints have been looking to this, to that wonderful day. And we know, Lord, time must run its course because you have already determined an appointed time. What all that which you desire to do, Lord, in whatever you have appointed will surely come to pass and be fulfilled, Lord. And so, Father, we know that it's the time and the day that is set. And we know, Father, you will reveal it to us, Lord, as we come close to that day. So, Father, bless today now as you look into thy word and to look at this prophecy of yours, Lord, the types and the shadows that are written, Lord, in thy holy book for the saints of the end time. They are studying, O Lord, that we may know the hour that we live in and be very, very watchful, Father, for this great day that is to come. So, Father, right now we ask for your grace now. Open our hearts and our mind to the understanding of thy word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated there. Now, the seven feasts of Jehovah. As I said, we know that many Christians are actually studying it for generations of time. The reason why Christians are studying this feast of Jehovah is to figure out or try to find out when Christ will come back. And so we know, I have since studied this back when I was in the denomination, back in the 60s, and I realized that there are a lot of people, everyone is trying to figure out, so everyone is guessing, assuming what day, what feast Christ might return. Some said Christ will return on Pentecost. You know, and as I said already, that once Christ fulfills a feast, he will not repeat that feast. So since we already know that Christ has finished, fulfilled the first four, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit, and Pentecost, so he could not return on Pentecost. Because the rest of the three feasts, he must fulfill. And I said this again, remember this, that the seven feasts of Jehovah, they were all feasts dealing with Israel. Has nothing to do with the Gentiles. The Gentiles came in only because of this present interval. Okay? And because the Jew rejected it and the Gentile was given the gospel, then when we see the Old Testament, God's dealing with children of Israel, we see therefore that this feast actually types all the ministry of Jesus Christ, how he would fulfill them. So the same thing, the last three feasts, he also will fulfill them by Jesus Christ. All these feasts are God feasting with the children of Israel, and in doing so he must come down and be with the people. Do you understand this? So we know that Christ fulfilled as a Passover lamb, unleavened bread, and the first fruit, and the Pentecost. He came down on the day of Pentecost and indwelled in those that believe. Okay? So now, there is this period of the present interval. We are in this present interval. We are not in any place else. We are neither in this side, we are neither this side, because one is in the past, the other is in the future. Okay, so it is for Israel, for God to deal with Israel. And we see that in the first four feet, how did the Jew in the past put the blood on the doorpost, which was a Passover night, that the night when the children of Israel left Egypt. Okay, when they left Egypt in the morning. But that night, before they left, God told them to put the blood of the Paschal lamb on the doorpost and on the lintel. So they did it in the ritual. And then they're eating the Passover in the house. Then when they come to the promised land, they are to take the sheaf of the first fruit, all right, before they eat anything of the land. They were to take the sheaf of the first fruits and go to the tabernacle and wave it before the Lord, because it represents Christ being the first fruit of the resurrection. And we are also the first fruit that will come out from the same field. Okay? And then the third month is when they wave the two loaves, which were grains, ground grains that were taken from the sheep of the first fruit. Alright, the grain from this field. And that is what Jesus Christ fulfilled. Then of course the present interval is when the Israel was scattered because they rejected the Messiah. So in 70 AD, alright, Israel was scattered. And the gospel went to the Gentiles. So we are in this present interval. Now, Jesus or Yahweh or Yahshua, as to being the Son of God, will have to return back to Israel with the gospel. Okay? Dealing with them as a nation. And I told you that the calendar of Israel are divided into two halves, 6 months. The first 6 months, he deals with them spiritually or religiously. And the second 6 months as a civil nation of people. Alright? Civil administration to them as a nation. So this is the second part. And so when the children of Israel were scattered, the present interval that we are here, and then of course when Christ go back to them with the gospel, there will be the blowing of the trumpets. And there are two silver trumpets that we studied last Sunday, and which represent the two witnesses. Okay, and when the two witnesses appear on the scene in Israel and start to be preached, then you will realize that the rapture will be gone. That's what we see up here. Okay, the church will have to be gone from this earth. Okay, the true believer, the bride. Alright, so then after that we have the Feast of the Atonement, when the Jew repent. Okay, so this is one day. The trumpet is also one day, and the atonement is also one day. And then the last feast we have is the Feast of Tabernacle, or the Feast of Booths. Alright, which they will be dwelling. All these booths is that they take some branches from trees and leaves, and then they construct a little temporary, like looking like a kupa, just a covering, like a little room where they will sit inside there and live there for 7 days. Okay? To rejoice in the natural thing and the peace and the surrounding tranquility or the life that God has given them. And this is what we are looking at. So right now, what I said last, I just want to recap a little bit of this to let you know. We see that this Feast of Trumpets, and it begins on the first day of Tishri, and Tishri is the 7th month. And if you do remember, Brother Abraham, in the church age, in the exposition of the 7 church ages, remember he drew the moon? You all remember that? Yeah. And there were all that 7 moon. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And it's beginning, of course, there was a whole lot of light, and then the light start going the light start going out, as you all know that. Okay? And then when you find that you come to the last part, it says that there's just only a little light left. The whole thing is total darkness. And this is the age that we're living in, the 7th church age. Right? Now, and Tishri is the 7th month in the Jewish calendar. And it is said it is the darkest month of the year. Now, is that a coincidence? Is that a coincidence? No. Alright. Let's go to the book of Joel chapter 2. Alright. The Feast of Trumpet will come on the 1st of Tishri. I hope you remember that, for what we have studied and are looking at the calendar. Alright. Go to the book of Joel chapter 2. verse 1 to 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the people of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain. So, it seems, some people might say, coincidence, no, God knows why He's writing, God knows everything about the universe, God knows everything about the nature in the heavens and earth that He created. And strangely, we will look later about the calendar of Israel, how they were changed. But yet Tishri originally was the first month in their calendar. Huh? And it became the seventh. And Nisan was the seventh month. But when they left, the night, that month, when God dealt with Israel in Egypt, He told them, this will be the beginning of the month to you. And right, and He told them, on the 10th day of this month, take a lamb without spot and blemish, and keep it until the 14th day at evening time. You slaughter it, take the blood, apply on the lintel and the doorpost, roast the lamb and eat it, and don't break the bones of the lamb. So Nisan, which was the seventh month, became the first month. And Tishri, which was the first month, became the seventh month. Right? Okay, look at the calendar again, in case some of you are still trying to figure it out. Some of these are basic that we all should know. Alright? So you look at it, you realize, okay, that this is the first month. After children Israel, the night before, or the month before they left, God told Moses, this month they will become the beginning of the month of the year for you. So Nisan was originally the seventh, became the first. And Tishri, which was the first, became the seventh. Because why? Tishri, because God delivered children of Israel at that time. Alright? It was all about their life, making them a great nation and all that, right? They were not even religious people. They were not even spiritual and understanding. But now God wanted to tell them that I'm going to send you a Messiah. This is what you're going to do. So everything changed. So Nisan from the seventh became the first month. So God deal with their life beginning with them spiritually. You know, God cannot change you from outside in. He changed you from inside out. And that's what I'm saying, the same thing with us. If you want your body to be changed, to a glorified body, God has to work from inside. And that's why, just like the identification that we see in the Bible about metamorphosis, which the Bible used the word metamorpho, the change. Huh? We are being changed from glory to glory. So how do you get changed? It's just like a butterfly. Before it was a butterfly, it was actually a little creepy, crawly caterpillar. Ugly looking thing. But he has to eat the green leaves where he was born in. Then until the time comes when it's matured, then the inside will start to do something. And that's why it comes out from the mouth, the caterpillar begins silk, begins to spun around him, herself. And then went to sleep for a little while. And then one early fine morning, it breaks open, because the old, dirty, creepy, crawly little thing, which becomes a little cocoon, little, you know, you'll be able to look at a cocoon. Breaks open. What happened to that little creepy, crawly thing? You don't see it anymore. Why, when it's black in color, or yellow in color, or a little pale in color, now come, break open out with beautiful wings. And it can fly. And that's what is going to happen to us. That's what God is working from inside out. And to work from inside out, you have to eat His Word. That is what God is doing. Because God is not dealing with you. Oh, I'm going to give you food on a table, chicken, rice, roast pig, roast pork, whatever, you know, for you. People are just grunting from the outside, just satisfy this body. God is not going to satisfy. I know the Bible said God has never seen His people begging for food. He'll provide food on table for every one of His people who sincerely look for God, even no matter how poor it is. A man who believes in God, pray to the Lord, I need bread for my children. God will provide. God will give him some way, some strength for him to go out there, work and provide food for him. Huh? But the thing is this, most people think only about the flesh. How many of us, how many Christians today, really Christian today, think about it. The Lord give us this day our daily bread, this bread. Not the one that you see on the table for your lunch or your dinner. We need to have this daily bread because we need to eat it. And then God, the word of God, the spiritual word, you're going to build up the spiritual man inside, your soul inside. And one of these days, this old character is going to break up. Huh? And become a different person, a different body altogether, a glorified body that can take off and fly up to meet Christ in the air. You see? So God wanted to show Israel that everything will change from now. I'm going to deal with you first of all from inside, not on your side. That's what children of Israel, when are you going to give us the kingdom? You know, the disciple was looking, when are you going to restore the kingdom? Oh, we have the great kingdom in the days of King David, King Saul, King Solomon. When you are a proud nation of people, just like the American, huh? They say, God bless America, the greatest nation in the world, right? Isn't it so? From Saul to Shining Saul and all these things, how America will be grieved. And now even Great Britain, which was once called Great Britain, was any more great? They want to bring it back. They want to get out of EU, European Union. They want to get out. They want to say, we want to bring back Britain to be Great Britain once again. You know, everybody is thinking about what? The outside. The greatness of the country. You know, the fresh, the pride. I'm an American. You know, you ever tell people how Americans say, oh, I'm American, you know, I have an American passport, you know, so what big deal? You know, and I think most of us Singaporeans here, well, most of us also, when we hold our red book, when I went over to Africa, a lot of Africa never seen red passport. They think it's a diplomatic passport. When I was there the first time, this is what they call the immigration officer. Look at me, look at the red passport, you know. Wow. And people thinking that I'm a diplomat. Because that is unique. So you see, when I said, I'm proud to be a Singaporean. Of course, you are all proud. But when they get to that place, like what Israel is even to today, we want our kingdom on this earth. God said, you will have it. But to deal with you, I want to deal with you from inside out. Because God is looking for the spiritual people. A people like Abraham, who knows what he believes in. Because Abraham had the revelation. Because you know what? It's not just about what God told me, I will make you a great nation. No. But I'll make you a father of many nations. And Abraham recognized that there's going to be a great holy city, New Jerusalem. Huh? A city not built with hands. That is eternal. That what he knew, that what he would have. That's why he and his children, Isaac, Jacob and his people, they have been always on the pilgrimage. Remember? Huh? And where were they dwelling? They were dwelling in booths, temporary homes. Because we don't have a city on this earth, we don't have a home on this earth, because we are just passing through. Do you understand? So this is what God is doing, was doing for them. So he changed from 7th month to 1st month, and 1st month to the 7th month. But look, when after God has done with them all these feasts right here, the 1st month, and then Pentecost, and all the time until here is 120 days. And so the first of Tishri happened to be the Feast of Trumpet. Huh? And you know what we read? The trumpet calls. He said, call them what? Come to Zion. Come back. to my holy mountain. Remember? Okay? But yet God says it's a day of darkness, a day of gloominess. Sure, when Jesus Christ come back to this earth, take the bride away and go to Israel, it will be a terrible time. And even right now, it's already a terrible time for Israel already. Politically, how the nation has been almost, you know, it's been overwhelmed by all the pressure, the boycott, the attack. Huh? From day to day, they suffer this. But what will become on the great day? Do you understand that? And that is first issue, very beginning of the new year. Rosh Hashanah. That is the beginning of the new year. But then there comes on the 10th day, the day of atonement. When I believe when the trumpets are blown and the two prophets begin to minister the word, the people of Israel must come to that day on the 10th of Tishri and they will go on their knees and repent for the sin that they have committed, the rejection of the Messiah. Do you understand that? Alright? Okay, let's go to another verse. Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 14 to 18. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. And haste greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. For the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of them all that dwell in the land. Whenever you read about this great day of the Lord that's coming, it isn't such a great day for the people. Only the great day was because there is deliverance. But before there is deliverance, the people will go through a hard time. Because God knows wrath is pouring out. This anger is coming out. You know, whenever I talk about the anger of God, I always think about this, what a comic character, the Hulk. You know. Don't be angry. You don't see me when I'm angry. You know what I mean? How he turned into this monster. You see? So we always, the problem with Christians are like the same. Oh, God is full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of this. You know, he loves us. And here we go about doing all sorts of things against God's word. And we don't realize that God is angry and upset. Just like the children, our children. When they tell not to do a certain thing, oh, mommy, you're full of love. Daddy, you're full of love. You know, I know you love me, huh? That's why you give birth to me and all that. And you give me, buy me all these toys and all this game and all that stuff. And there we go. The children go around this misbehaving. Wouldn't you think the parents are not upset? You know? So God loves us and He will chastise us. And I remember my son and my daughter remember my chastising. You know? Don't spare the rod and spoil the child. And God is not going to spoil His rod. Spare His rod against those that are rebellious. Okay? So now we remember that we are right at this end time and we are really in the Laodicea age. Now I remember last week when I did my sermon, I realized that I make a lot of mistakes in my word. So you need to understand, okay? I just love it myself how many times I make all the mistakes of saying the wrong words. But you should know. Get the cool context, don't pick up the words just like that. Okay? So in understanding this, let us go right now to the Day of Atonement. Go to Leviticus 23. Since the Feast of Trumpets started on the first of Tishri, calling the people to the Word of God, and then 10 days later there will be the Day of Atonement. So we are going to look at this today as to
what is to be done by the children of Israel. Leviticus 23, verse 26 to 32. And the Lord said, spake unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement and atonement for you before your God. For whatsoever soul that it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whosoever soul it be that do any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of works. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day, in the ninth day of the month, at even, from even unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbath. So the tenth day, but it's on the ninth. Remember when we said 10 day, Yahweh starts 6 hours the day before. Okay? Now remember, God said this is a holy convocation. It's a Sabbath. Now this Sabbath is exclusive. Okay? It's not their regular Sabbath of working 6 days, the seventh day you rest. Do you understand that? Okay? Because the first of Tishri, we already know. It's already a Sabbath. Okay? And then you add 7 days, first of Tishri, the 8th day, 9 day, 10 day. 10 day is not a Sabbath, right? But God make it a Sabbath, and people are not allowed to work. Okay? But it's a day of rest. But in resting, they are told to afflict their soul. Do you understand? And any soul that refuses to afflict or repent or make this atonement and manage to work, God said, I will cut them off from among the people. Now remember, he said the word, I will cut him off from among his people. What is his people? Huh? That means from among the group. So if you believe that you are a Christian, you are a nation of holy priesthood, you know, God's people. If you do not do what God tells you to do, don't forget, it's still the law. God will cut you off. You know. So you won't be surprised if there's a lot of them that's going to miss the rapture. They're for it for so. Because many of them do not line themselves up with the word of God. It is said. When the Bible tells the children of Israel, God told Moses that on this particular day, the people must remember, it's the Sabbath, no work, rest, but they must afflict their soul. Now, what is an atonement? What is an atonement? Okay, let us continue reading some other places first. Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16, verse 30 to 31. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your soul by a statute forever. So this thing, that you must keep it. Every tenth of Tishri, every year, is a day of atonement. And they must keep this day. No work, rest, afflict the soul. Okay. So now, what is an atonement? The Bible here says already clear to cleanse you, right? So let me just draw this on the board. You can understand here. We have two feasts where lamb are sacrificed. Okay, animals are sacrificed. Okay, the first one is Passover. Okay, the other one is the Day of Atonement. between this Passover lamb, the sacrifice of Passover sacrifice, and the atonement sacrifice. Whether it be, but here you will notice something different. Okay? We use the word sacrifice. So what's the difference? We know that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. What he is, our atonement lamb, our atonement sacrifice. Was he was our Passover sacrifice, was he our atonement sacrifice? And why wasn't Jesus Christ called the atonement lamb? We always say he's our Paschal lamb. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, we'll go look in the further in the scripture, okay? In chapter 12 of Exodus, this is the first, or the beginning, the first time that the Passover lamb was introduced to us. We know that in the book of Genesis, after Adam and Eve sinned against God, you know what God did, right? He took animals, he slain them, and with the skin of the animal, he clothed Adam and Eve. So there was nothing to say about whether it's a Passover lamb or anything, okay? So we know from the action that God is doing something, a work, a prefiguration of something that he will do for us. So that's what you see in the book of Genesis. Now, in the book of Exodus here, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they have been there all these years. Now God, they are crying out to God for deliverance. So God sent Moses to deliver them out. So in chapter 12, that is when you have this Passover instituted. So what is the meaning of the word Passover? What's the meaning? Because now I want to show you the difference. Why in this seven feast of Jehovah, there are two different things right here. What is a Passover lamb? A Paschal lamb. But what Passover means, or that's why we get the word passing over. Got it? Atonement, the word atonement means what? Covering. So atonement means a covering. Alright. But the Passover means passing over you. Now, let me show you, let me just give you a little juice. The night when children of Israel were in Egypt and Moses told them, take this lamb, kill it, take the blood, apply on the doorpost, okay, close the door, get inside the house, eat the lamb. Alright? And God says, because at midnight, a death angel will go out. And any time when he sees there's no blood on the doorpost, the death angel will go in and take the firstborn. Okay? And God said, but when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Isn't it? Okay, now, think about something here like this. The king! Because Christ, God himself is the king. Now his wrath is being poured out now. Okay? So he comes down as a king to judge. Okay? But a king is always righteous and fair. Because he is a good king, full of grace and mercy. So he always gives a warning first. Something for the people to do before he come and judge them. Okay, remember problems, someone on warning first before judgment. Right? You see. So, this is what God tell them to do, what they're supposed to do. Take the blood, put on the doorpost. So when the king comes, when he sees the blood on the doorpost, he passes over. That means judgment will not go in. Okay? Because the blood prevents him from going. That is his token. So if you believe and do what he said, he will not come in and destroy.
Same with us all in this world today. For all our sin comes from the glory of God. Repent and be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So people who don't do that, it doesn't matter, you know. As I say oftentimes, I believe in Jesus, that's okay. I go to this church, it's okay, I'm going to help. So everybody think that way. They don't follow according to the scripture. And even Israel has been doing that for many generations. Huh. But you know what? In this Passover, because of the Passover lamb, they are eating that. They were eating the lamb, being a part of the body, part of the salvation that the lamb gave them. So God Passover that. But the atonement here is different. When Adam and Eve sinned against God and God took the, I don't know how many animals, right? Maybe it's a big sheep, a merino sheep or something, huge one. It's good enough to make one garment for Adam and another one for Eve, right? So he took these two animals and slain them. The Bible didn't tell us about anything about blood, but we know there's blood. Huh? So the Bible said that God made a covering for them. So he said, a covering, remember? A garment covers them. So cover them. So atonement is a covering. A covering. That's all there is to it. A covering. So when the thing is covered, it means God won't see the sin. You get it? Okay. When God sees the covering, He doesn't see the sin of the person. But yet, death is not yet passed over. Do you understand what I'm saying? You remove the covering, death will still be there. But when you talk about the Paschal lamb, the Passover lamb, passing over means death passed over you. And that's why Christ is not just in this Paschal lamb offering or the Passover. Christ is also an atonement, making this atonement. Because He died for us. Do you understand that? He died for us. And not only that, He there passed over us. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish. Perish means death. Huh? He should not perish but have everlasting life. So death passed over. So this belief must be true belief. Not head knowledge. True belief in doing everything just like what Israel did when they were in Egypt that night. All the details that were given them, they have to fulfill it exactly. Now, when it comes to the atonement, it's just, oh Lord, we have sinned, repent, and we recline on all this, afflict our souls, sin. And the animal, of course, will be sacrificed. Alright, let's go on. And look into Leviticus 16 now, for the better understanding of the atonement. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offend before the Lord and die because they offer strange fire. Remember? And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron your brother that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. So now, if you remember the tabernacle of Moses. Alright? How many remember the tabernacle of Moses? You still do. The tabernacle of Moses. Alright. The Ark of the Covenant is inside here. Table of showbread. And here is the altar of incense. And then you have the candlesticks over this side, the laver here, and here you have the brazen altar where the sacrifice is. Here's the entrance, that's to the east. Okay. So, God told Moses to tell Aaron, that he has no right to enter into this most holy place except once every year. Only one time every year, on the Day of Atonement, can he enter in there and do the ritual that were required for him to do. Other than that, Aaron has no business going inside there. Okay? Alright. Verse 2 again. Speak unto Aaron thy brother that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, it means behind the veil, which is the most holy place, before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I would appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for the sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. So, from this you understand that Aaron must wash himself and prepare himself and dress the way he should dress, the special garment only that he would dress when he goes inside there. Okay? And he must take two animals. One a bullock, and the other one is a ram. You know what a bullock is, right? You know what a bullock is? Okay? A male cattle. A bull, bullock. And the other one is a ram. A ram means a male sheep. Okay, what do this animal represent? Bullock, well, they're strong. They're steadfast. They're beasts of burden. The other, the ram is different. It's steady. You know, it won't budge. It always wait for you. But bullock won't attack you, huh? But a ram will, steadfast. Means very firm. Okay. And he said in verse 5, and he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goat for a sin offering and one ram for the burnt offering. Okay, now, the verse 3, Aaron took with him young bullock for the sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. This is for himself. Later in the verse, other verses you will understand. He was to take a bullock and a ram for him and his family. Now when he said take for himself, means he must take from his own field. Huh? What was given to him by the 10 tribes, okay, he will have his own share up there in the field where he kept the animals. He must take it for himself from his own. But from the congregation, then he must take it from the people. Okay? So from the people, he was taught to take two kids of the goats, two young male goats, and one ram, which is for the burnt offering. The two goats are for the sin offering. Okay? Whereas for Aaron and his family, the young bullock was for the sin offering, the ram was to be burnt offering. So you know what a sin offering and burnt offering is? I already told you this. But sin offering is for sin. Burnt offering is to let God, you know, appease God. You understand? Okay? Verse 6. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. That means for his family groups, family members, nobody else. So that tells us something. He was a high priest, so why did he need that? Because you see, he was a Levite tribe. And his tribe were all make priests. You understand? Especially from his son. All those other Levites, they are not priests, not necessarily priests, but only for his direct descendant. The rest Levite deals with all that tabernacle stuff. Alright? The pots and pans, the washing and the folding down of the tabernacle as they move and the setting it up and so on. But Aaron's direct descendant, his son, they are the ones that are priests. Do you understand? So, we know that these are Levitical priesthood. But Levitical priesthood
are not perfect. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Levitical priests are human, and therefore they must also have to have offering. That's what as Paul said, there is a priesthood that is better than the Levitical priesthood, and that is a Melchizedek priesthood. The Levitical priesthood will offer lamb, bullock, ram, year in, year out, and that will not take away the sins. But where the Levitical priesthood, he offered the sin, his offering once and for all, and is done away forever. Do you understand? That's why Aaron must come and offer that bullock every year. Every year for himself. And the ram is a burnt offering for himself and the whole household as well. Do you understand that? Okay? So the difference between the Levitical and the Melchizedek priesthood. Levitical's priesthood cannot take away sin forever. It shows that the Levitical priesthood, as far as the natural man is concerned, there is the frailty of man. Whereas in the Melchizedek priesthood, which is Christ, he came, he sacrificed it once and for all, it's done away. Okay? Alright. Now, in verse 7, and he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Aaron shall cast lot upon the two goats. One lot for the Lord, for Yahweh, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. And the goat on which the Lord fell, to be the scapegoat, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for the scapegoat into the wilderness. So now there you have two goats. Now why do you use goat instead of a lamb? Why you use goat instead of lambs? This is atonement. This is a day of atonement. This is not the Passover, which is usually the lamb. You see, goats are used because it shows that. And most goat, usually, we will say most goat, tends to be different from the Passover lamb, because lamb usually are taken as white. They always take white lamb. Okay? We know that in Australia, merino lamb, which is brown in color, and other colors too, but not the one that take the Paschal lamb. Okay? Even as the heifer must be red, and you cannot take any other kind of heifer. Do you understand what I mean? There's symbolism. So the same thing with the atonement, it's goat. So this goat are used in that there is a weakness in the sense of goat, because the sacrifice, when you do it every time in this atonement, it's a yearly thing. It means that it's never perfect. But in the Passover lamb, it symbolizes Christ. When Christ fulfilled it, it is perfect, it's gone. Everything. You understand? There is this slight difference in that. So, out of these two goats, they cast lot. I don't know how they cast lot. If you ask me, I do not know. Huh? Not like a Chinese throw the two pieces of wood, one up and down. It's not that. Or toss a coin. I don't know how they do it. Okay. So, if the lot fell upon one of the goats, and they said that this is tradition. Okay, I believe, because the Bible didn't say it. They're supposed to take two goats. Two kids go to be of the same size. Young and strong, of the same size. So one lot will be saying, okay, this is the Lord's. This belongs to the Lord. This one belongs to the scapegoat. Okay? And then the one that belongs to the Lord is slain and offered. You understand? And offered up to God. Whereas the one that is the scapegoat will be led free into the wilderness. We'll explain a bit later. Let's continue first. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, in verse 11, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and he shall take a censer for the burning coal of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hand full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat, that is upon the testimony that he died not. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkled it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring the blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of the transgression in their sins. So shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remain among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. Now this is what Aaron would do. With the bullock sacrifice, okay, he was told to take a censer of burning coal. Now, not just those coal that are dying out, burning red hot coal. Okay, you take a censer of this burning coal and 2 handfuls of spices. Okay, now, people are wondering, but they said 2 handfuls. Huh? So, how is he going to take 2 handfuls of spices and carry the censer? Okay, but the censer, some say, because it is actually hanging upon a, you know, chain. You know how they do in the Greek Orthodox? But in those days, not necessarily that this was what they did. There is a pen. They have to take the coal out from this burning work of brazen altar of sacrifice. So what we know is that he has to take this coal first. Okay? With the spice. But the spice is not in his hand. 2 handfuls means he took it and then he put it in the container. Obviously. Bring that in to the holy place, and then the blood which is sacrificed was to be brought in, and then he sprinkled before the mercy seat. Having done that, he will return out again after dealing with the goat. It was for the Lord. He also bring the blood in and do the same thing. Okay, now while he is doing all these things, nobody, no priest, should be inside the tabernacle. And the people outside are waiting to see whether he come out. Because why? He has, remember, he wear this garment, and the fringe of the garment is little bells. So you could hear him moving inside there. So if that sound stops, that means it's dead. He's dead. That means the atonement is not accepted. Okay, something gone already wrong. Okay, so this is what he does. So he came out now. In verse 10, then after that he will sprinkle the blood also in verse 19, the altar, verse 18, sorry. And he shall go up into the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horn of the altar around it. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it and hold it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat now. Verse 21, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, confess over him all the iniquities, the sins of the children of Israel, and all their transgression in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of the fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Okay, let me just stop right there. The rest will not important. Now here is interesting. The goat is called a scapegoat. Aaron put his hand upon the head, you know, and confess all the sins of the people, the whole congregation upon this goat. And then he asked, God said, get a man who's fit. Now, the word fit man here is definitely not a man like me, 68 years old. Okay, it's not a young boy like Luke here. It must be a man who's strong and fit. Okay? And that's what Jesus Christ was at the age of 30, he went to ministry. And 20 and above is a man who go for war. 30 is a year when you take the ministry. So a man must be strong in that age. So this man would take this goat and walk far out into the desert. Now remember, they were out in the desert. How many million of people that, maybe about 4 million, 3 million, 4 million people out there in the wilderness. So how far would he have to walk to make sure that this goat don't come back to the camp? Remember, what is this scapegoat? Now, interestingly, if you look into some new translation, they will spell the name of this scapegoat. Alright, let me write it here. It is called how do you pronounce this word? Azazel. Azazel. Huh? Okay. Now this is, in the Hebrew, it's broken into two words. Huh? Azazel, I believe it's Azazel. Or Zahel. Two words. Huh? Azazel means the goat. And Ozal, whatever he pronounced that word, means to disappear. To get it far away. Disappear. Goat, disappearing goat. You know, get it far away into the desert. Now, according to tradition, I mean, Jews have all kinds of tradition. You ever watch the movie, the Fiddler on the Roof? Tradition, tradition. It's all about tradition. So they said that the person will take this girl, walk 10 miles into the desert. That's why you call him a fit man. He knows that there's no car, no lorry to take it all. Huh? You walk all the way with this girl into a desert 10 miles away from the camp. Into a desert wilderness where no man lives. And make sure that the goat won't come back. So now the Jew asks a question. What if the goat comes back? We're in trouble. The sin has returned. So, they have one kind of tradition. They said that they tie a red cloth onto the horn of the goat. You understand? So that they will know if the goat comes back. Before they come to the camp. But if they come back into the camp and this white cloth turns white, oh, everything's okay. They have all that strange thing. You know? So, what do you think is? That's the Jew. So, but it says scapegoat. Scapegoat, scape. Now, you know what a scapegoat is when we use it. We make somebody a scapegoat. I mean, the person is innocent, isn't it? We just put everything on him. And do you know what? Because of this word, Azazel, whatever, in Hebrew, and then written it in this way. And in the Islam, in the Quran, in the book of Enoch, in Babylonian writing and all this, they said that this Azazel, how it was again? Azazel. They say it's a demon. And so they blame on Satan. And what about denomination? So we're now studying this, and the commentator and this theologian say that the said scapegoat, the Lord that fell on this goat, the scapegoat, is Satan. Satan is blamed on, the sin is blamed on Satan, and he carried the sin far away to where? You see how strange that is. And yet, you know one thing for sure. This word, Azazel, as the way they want to make this to be a demon, only came after this. You know what I mean? Every time God writes something, somebody will take the word and say something else, and make it something else. Do you see what I'm talking about? You see? And God said, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the domination comes around and takes Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make into three gods. And things like that. So, that's always the distortion. So, the scapegoat is not Satan, not demonic. It represents, the both gods represents the Lord Jesus Christ. To take away the symbolism of taking away their sins far away. Is it? You understand? As well as to cover their sin. But that's only the atonement. Because the one that is truly everything that is perfect is the Passover lamb. Do you see? And they miss it. God gave it to them on the first of the seven feasts. You remember?
And they missed it all. And that's on the 10th of Tishri. Go and repent. Afflict the soul. Do you understand? And if they afflict the soul, do you think they still recognize this Passover? That's on the 1st of Tishri when the two trumpets were sound. When the two prophets comes on the scene and start to prophesy. Huh? Maybe then on that day, on the 10th day of Tishri, when they repent and afflict their soul, maybe they recognize. But still, they will not recognize. Because only what? 144,000 will be sealed. And they will be the one to have the revelation. The rest of the nation will be later when Christ come back and they saw the wound on his hand. Where did you get this wound? And what did the Bible say? I get it from my friends, right? That's right. See. So that's what the atonement is, compared to this. So this is what we have. So that for us, we don't have to go through this. Unless you sin often, you better go after the soul. Huh? Do you see the difference? Okay. Now, that's pretty interesting on what we see in this. Now, let's go to Leviticus 16 again, verse 2. Just want to look at this word. Lord said to Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all time. You see, before the cross, before Calvary, you know that this most holy place, the Ark of the Covenant, what's inside the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments, right? The two tablets of the Ten Commandments. There are three objects. What's the second object? The pot of manna. And then next one, Aaron's rod, the bud. The all represents what? The commandment represents the law. Okay? The word of God. The commandment of God's word. The pot of manna, which is food. Okay? And Christ himself is the food. And the rod, the bud, represents what? Fruition. Means be fruitful. And Christ is fruitful. He said, that's why I laid down my life, I raised up. Okay, and bring from more fruits, right? Remember? Unless a grain of corn die, it will not bring from much fruit. So that represents Christ. But yet, Aaron is the only person who can go in there. But he cannot go in there every year, every day. I mean, just like when he wants to. No. Only once a year. And therefore, before the cross, nobody could really approach God. He has to go through the Levitical priesthood. But after Calvary, you can come to the Lord anytime. You don't have to go to a priest. Right. I know in India when I go there in India, they call me priest. In India, the way they will call me priest. Sometimes they call me a pastor, but of course, normally they call priest. Because that's what they know. Because of the pagan situation. You know. So, we know Christ is our high priest. So we don't go to any human being to confess our sin. Not to a priest, not to a pope, not anybody. We go straight to Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. We can come to him anytime. But before the cross, no. Once a year. And not for the Gentiles. It's only for Israel. But that's what God was doing. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the holiest means the holy place. Okay, because the holy place is where God says, I come down in the cloud. That's where I sit. The Shekinah glory between the two cherubim. Aaron cannot go in just like that. Remember when he went in, he has to have this coal, burning coal, the pan of burning coal in the censer. And he will put it before this ark. And remember, that room is total darkness. You all know that, don't you? The most holy place is in total darkness. There was no light, nothing. Okay, only in the holy place, where there are the three furniture,
the candlestick, the table of showbread, and before the veil is this altar incense. Behind the veil is total darkness, where the Ark covenant sits. So Aaron comes in with a burning coat, glowing coat, so he could barely see far. You understand what I mean? You approach the Ark of the Covenant and put it before that, and then he will put this incense upon it, sprinkle it upon it. So the incense, when it burns up, it becomes smoke. Okay, so that is to keep his eye off from the mercy seat, where he will not be struck dead. You understand? That's what the tradition, when we look at it, is how it's supposed to be. After all, it was total darkness except for the glow. You understand? So that's the reason why the clouds of smoke is to prevent him staring at that. And then he will sprinkle the blood and so on. So it says here in Hebrew, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So his flesh is the veil. Whereas in the temple of Moses, it's this curtain. Huh? So that's why when Jesus Christ died that day, okay, and he resurrected 3 days later, what happened to that temple? The Bible said that the veil was rent in twain. So the flesh is exposed now because of the death of Christ. So what do you see in Christ now? Behold, not just the man in the flesh as an ordinary man. Behold the man, the perfect man. Okay, the one who is the perfect sacrifice. Do you understand? Like Paul said, we see Jesus Christ no more in the flesh. Because the disciples all know Jesus Christ in the flesh. Here you see him and all these things. You know. But Paul said, we know him. You see, we know him by revelation, we know him by the Spirit. Yeah. To the world today, many people say Jesus Christ is just a founder of Christianity. And some would say it's Paul anyway. Huh? But we know better. Who is this man called Christ? As the Bible says. Who is this man called Christ? What would you do with this man called the Christ? What would you do with him? You have a choice. Accept him as who he claimed to be, or reject him. Right? So the religion in the world, there are so many religions. You pick a choice. But only those who are elect will see the truth. Okay. And it says, 21, having a high priest over the house of God. Let us, so he's a high priest over the house of God. We are the house of God, remember? So he's a high priest who still walk among us and minister to us. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our body washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to anger and to... Is it to anger? I'm reading whether you're following me. So we are consider one another to provoke one another to love and to love and to good works. Is that right? So we hold fast the profession of our faith that we have received. Now we do not want to change anything. What the Bible says we do, we don't want to give it some kind of traditional. Do you know what a Jew is doing today? Or what a Jew has been doing for that matter? All these years? You know the Day of Atonement? It says 2 goats. I mean, that's for the congregation, right? For Aaron and his people, it is a bullock and a ram. But for the people, it's 2 goats. But do you know what has been practiced through all these years? They change. Some say 2 chicken will do. You believe me. Go check it out. So they have actually watered down, you know, the thing that God told them to do, to be precise. They want to change it. You see? And even to the Jews today, modern Jew, he said the Day of Atonement, we don't have to do all that. You see, some say that to give money to charity is good enough. Some say, I will read the Torah on that day. It's good enough. So everybody have their... Today is the same.
Huh? Like some say, oh, you know, you don't have to conform to the Bible the way the Bible said so. You don't have to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. His sprinkling is alright. Why alright? Because, well, time has changed. You know what I mean? Time has changed. You know? So you don't need to bring a Bible. Use an electronic Bible will do. I mean, that's up to you. You know what I'm saying? That sort of thing. People want to have convenient. Instead of getting wet, going to the water to be baptized, they just sprinkle a few drops on their head. That's fine enough, because time has changed. Huh? How do we Christians should live as a Christian life? We don't have to anymore, because time has changed. Let me tell you one thing. The Bible says, God says what? I change not. You may change, I don't change. And the Bible said, the word that goes out will return to me, not void, but will fulfill every word exactly as I say. Is that not true? That is why. You want to alter and take one word from it and add one word to it, I will take away the name from your book of life, from my book of life, or I will add the plagues that I will pour out upon the system. I will add it upon you. God meant what He said, and so many men. And that's the same thing. I always warn the people, don't play. If you want to believe, believe. If you don't believe, don't believe. Because don't waste your time. And I know one thing for sure, we are living at this last day. Any moment, you know, if the trumpet will sound, and there is awareness for us to know when. Remember what I told you last week? Let me just let you know. Give me, just be a moment. Do you remember what Brother Tony's testimony is, right? You remember Brother Tony's testimony? Okay. His dream and his wife, I mean, his vision and his wife's dream. Now, to me, it's remarkable. The wife dreamed it the night before, and the following day when they went down to the Science Museum, or whatever museum they're going with the children, and they were diverted to go, and then when she swung out and out of the expressway, a vision broke up before his eyes. The earthquake in California, where it would start. And the wife didn't tell her husband what she dreamt in the morning. So when the wife saw him, whoa, whoa, whoa! Then the wife knew that he had seen the vision. And his wife would tell him, let me tell you what I dreamt last night. And the husband said, don't tell me what you dream. I'll tell you what you dream. That means I know what you dream. And the thing that happened. Now what, and then to what God has, you know, dealt with him about this day. What day did he say? My husband, the California earthquake will start. He says May 26th, right? Remember May 26th? He said May 26th. Is that not right? May 26th. Now, I didn't know anything about this when I look at it, there was thinking, May 26th. That's not far from September. And I Google and find out when will be the trumpet. When is first of Tishri, according to the Jew, for next year. And it falls upon September 22nd. Huh? September 22nd is the first of Tishri. So I was thinking, well, could that be 120 days from here? To here. Okay, 26. May has how many days? May has 31 days. Right? June has how many days? June, 30 days. July, 31 days. And then we have August, 31 days. Calculate and add that up. 6 days here. Here 92. Right? Okay. How many is there? 98. Is that right? How many days here? September 22. Up to September 22. How many days? 22. So how many days? 108. Am I right? Or am I wrong? Huh? I'm putting the wrong side. It's on this side. 22.
for 120. Exactly on this 22nd, from this day, counting from this day, because this is the day the earthquake starts. One day, the 31st, 6 days. Huh? 26, 27, you don't count 24 hours, you count on the day. Remember, that's what the Bible says, count the day after the Sabbath. The day after the Sabbath is the Monday, so you come from Monday onward. Monday to the next one is Sunday, okay, on the Sabbath. So it's 7 days. So come from this day to this day. You are what I mean, okay? So it's 20th day. So I said, wow. What? No, brother and sister, this is 2016 next year. I mean, 2017 next year. Huh? I mean, after all, as young man, Jonah says, 17 also here is in play, the word, the number 17. The number 17 is 710, the significance of that number. And if we have next year, if the California earthquake starts, now we are all looking and getting excited. And Brother Pierre and all those of them are getting excited. If it started exactly as what Brother Ohana believed from his calculation, how the Lord guided him. Only he saw the vision, but the day and the other thing that the Lord revealed to him, he come upon this day. Okay. So if you saw that from this day, and then we still have 120 days to go to Tishri. So within 120 days, what is going to happen? What happened that if there is the war that happened just before this day of 26th of May? Next year, all we know. Okay, then there is a peace treaty, then that God stops it. I mean, you look at this time zone, I mean, it's quite close. The war, the peace, then here comes the two winners at the same time. And all that. We will not be around to see this. I pray we are not around to see this. If 2017 is the day, because why? Next year it will be 69 years of Israel. And I say, and I want to believe, and I pray that I'm not wrong to believe that the generation is 70 years. Because there's no more other goal. I know other generation to go. It cannot be 80. You know. Unless we take what Moses said regarding our journey in the wilderness, I mean the journey of the children of Israel in the wilderness. But reason I have up to 80. Remember? Wow, Lord, another 10 years more. I mean, you know what? I mean, how long do you want to go? Then what? The 120? Now you come to you and say, this generation shall not pass away. The people that are born in the dead when the sea Israel became a nation cannot all pass away. You know. And I want to be still around to see him come. Not when I'm gone. Right? Because when I had the dream, which God had given me, I know I'm still around to see him come. I believe so. I'm not in the grave that resurrected. I never see myself resurrected. Yeah. So I pray that, well, we just keep watch and pray. Because this is all we want. We're all looking for his coming. Amen. Okay, we're all looking for his coming. If he doesn't come next year, then still go ahead and proper tarot. Even by 2018, he still didn't come. You still plant your own potato. We all have to. Keep going. You see. But when we see the world today in the shape that it is in, we know how close it is. Right? We know it's very, very close. The world is already in a mess, full of distress, and the vision of problem is coming to pass, and I believe Hillary Clinton will definitely be voted in the way things is going. Cannot be any otherwise. And after that, America destroyed. All this vision must come to pass. Because that vision was given to Brother Bank in 1933. Seven visions. Five has completely fulfilled exactly the world wars and all that. And that is something we are seeing now, and then follow up with destruction and marriage. God bless all of you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, O Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word, and your word give us joy and strength. And the joy of the Lord is our strength for this hour we live in, truly, Father. May our eyes, Father, be focused upon your word, and be watchful, Lord, and prayerful unto the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We rejoice, O Lord, to see this day that we live in, though it is a day that is full of distress and problems and pressure, O Father, works and whatever. There's a whole lot of diseases, O Lord, breaking out around the world. Here in Singapore, we have people getting TB, and a lot of people are coughing away, Lord, and sniffing away flus. And other countries, O Lord, we've got the Zika viruses, and malaria is also on the rise here and there, and polio. O Father, this world is sick. It's dying and travailing. And we know, Lord, it is doing so because it is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we look forward to the day when it will be done, when the sons of God will truly be manifested, O Lord, when Christ Jesus, our Lord, returned and set up his kingdom. So, Father, bless this day now, Lord. We ask that you be with us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.